that winter has come.
Welcome to the hottest podcast, 16s and Things, blending sports and hip-hop with your favorite host, Ms. 100. So turn up the volume and let's get into it.
What's good, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the 16s and Things. This is your host, Ms. 100. This is episode 43, y'all. I want to know if y'all feeling that new intro that I got to the podcast. Let me know. Hit me up. Text me. Email me. Hit me up on the social medias. This is season four. I'm actually on season four, and I got a lot of new dope content coming each week. I'm gonna do my best to release an episode every Friday. I'm gonna release about 10 episodes a season now, and then I'm gonna take my breaks in between the season. So yeah, let me get into this, yo. My first topic this week, about 2 weeks ago, they announced the killers of Jam Master Jay were found guilty, and the case is closed now, finally. Come to find out, it was his childhood friend and his godson who actually did it. Yo, and one of the most fucked up things about this story is, all along, the hood knew the whole time. Niggas in the hood knew who the killers were, but they allowed all these years to go by. And because of the no snitching logic, we all know how that go. If you're from the hood, that, you know, that whole no snitching logic, you know, it cripples. It really cripples the minds of people in the hood, man. But damn, just think about it, y'all. It took 22 years, 22 years for them to solve this case. You know, I guess the tour money and the album sales slowed up for Jam Master Jay. The nigga went back on the block. He had 10 keys of coke to sell, and he decided to include his childhood friend and his godson in on the deal. These niggas got into a disagreement. Once that happened, it went downhill from there. You know, I don't know the full details of, you know, the disagreement, but Jay had to cut them out the deal, and then them suckers killed them. You know, it's very unfortunate that we lost a great hip-hop legend, but when you in that life of drug dealing, street shit, getting killed by grimy niggas is just one of those consequences. It just is, y'all. So the Philadelphia 76ers have announced that Allen Iverson will have his own statue, y'all. It's about fucking time. You know, I think it's so dope and very deserving for Allen Iverson, a.k.a. The Answer. You know, one of the greatest Sixers players ever. You know, he never won a chip for the city, but AI game was so electrifying and captivating. He brought a lot of excitement to Philly, yo. And definitely up on City Ave at Club Fridays. If you know, you know. AI had the city rocking back then. He was barely 6 feet tall. And I just never seen a guard like him dominate. So small, you know, not even that tall. His skills is just his first step was just, it was just too much for a lot of people, man. And he didn't have the best jump shot. This motherfucker just was so athletic, yo. And I think what really helped Iverson in his career is the fact that he was also a great football player in high school too. Because he's absorbed so many hits. I think he was only about like $1.60 or $1.65. I don't think AI never weighed at least 180 or nothing. I think he played at 160 or 165. I don't even think it was 170. But, you know, he was a seven-time All-Star, MVP, the NBA MVP in 2001. Just one of the best guards I ever seen, yo. So salute the, you know, AI for having a legendary career. And man, and he also just got I see Shaq gave him a job at Reebok. He doing his thing. Like, it's good to see AI, you know, he bounced back. It was a period of his life things wasn't looking good for him. You know, they were saying that he had a huge gambling habit and drinking habit or whatever, and he was running through his money. But shout out to AI, his team, and his family. Got himself together, and he's looking well, yo. Much respect, much respect.
Your numbers don't add up on the blow. That was 10 years ago. If you know, you know. Yeah. If you know, you know.
Yeah, so the Denver Broncos, they made it official. They got rid of Russell Wilson. We knew this was coming. You know, it just surprised me that as an organization, they took a $85 million hit because they didn't want this boy. They really didn't want Russell Wilson to be their quarterback. So they'd rather be in debt for like $85 million. They saying that's gonna put the organization in a hole for like 2 to 3 years. Like, it's unheard of, yo. It's unheard of. I don't know what the fuck John Elway is doing over there as the team president, but you know, he been flopping when it comes to some of these deals, especially at the quarterback position. And to be honest with you, Russell Wilson actually didn't have a bad season. He actually threw for over 4,000 yards, and I think he threw like 20 TDs. Like, yo, you know, they just need to be all the way official and just say, yo, we prefer a cracker to be our quarterback. We prefer a white nigga to be our quarterback, yo, because if you think about it, in the whole time that the Denver Broncos existed, like, it's never really been a black quarterback that they kept for longer than a year. I think Russell Wilson being there two seasons was just too long. And then Coach Sean Payton, he can't stand Russell for whatever reason. He just can't stand Russell Wilson. He came in the gate like just on some bullshit with Russell. And then the fact that, you know, you're going to bench him for the last two games of the season, yo, that, you know, that's embarrassing. But I got to say that Russell took that shit on the chin. I know he's, you know, a Christian, and he's deep into his religion, and I guess that keeps him humble and peaceful. But, man, like, he deserves a snap-out moment. Yo, he deserves a snap-out moment on them, yo, for real. But, you know, shout out Russell Wilson for keeping his composure and being a professional that he is, because I still think Russell can play, maybe not on an elite level, like a top five QB or something like that, but Russell is definitely not a Zach Wilson. You know, he definitely could be a starter in the NFL. Me personally, I would like to see him play for the Steelers or the Falcons, man. Both those organizations, they need quarterbacks bad. So, yeah, let me get on to my next topic. Yo, Netflix announced their first ever live boxing match. It will be July 20th. Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson. This is some bullshit. And this really explains why Netflix went up on their subscription prices, yo. And I just got a feeling. Maybe this is just a freak bull in me, but I got a feeling that Netflix porn is definitely coming soon. But they're probably going to be charging like $25 a month for that. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy. When we all know Pornhub and X Videos is free. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I just got off topic. But yeah, I swear though, I hate sounding like the old head hater. But damn, when it comes to sports, it just was a lot better when I was young. Like back in the 80s and the 90s, boxing was just so good and full of, you know, so many legendary fighters, yo. This circus of a boxing match between Tyson and Paul is just a pure money grab. We know it. Jake Paul, you know, if you know his history, this guy just decided to be a motherfucking boxer. TikToker or YouTuber or whatever. Just started working out at the fucking gym and decided he wanted to be a fucking boxer. And surprisingly, he actually has tuned up some fucking boxers out there. You know what I mean? But fighting Mike Tyson, come on, man. Like, I know Tyson is 57 years old and all that, but man, Tyson still get around nicely, yo. He at 57 years old, that nigga's footwork is still official. You know, it still look like he got that power, you know, because Tyson, you know, he posted his videos up on his Instagram, but, you know, that nigga looking nice. But anyway, will the fight do numbers as far as viewership? Most likely. Will I watch it? No. Netflix for sure will make a ton of money off this, and the fighters will too. But I gotta ask, what happens if Tyson lose or get knocked down in that ring? You know what I'm saying? Will he still be respected as a legend? I don't know, y'all. That shit kind of crazy to me.
Undermine me and backstab me, but I can see clearly now the rain is gone, the pain is gone, but what you did was still wrong. There was a few times I needed your support, but you tried to play me like an indoor sport, like racquetball, tennis, pool, whatever. All I know is that you attempted to be clever. Nevertheless, cleverness can impress, cause now you've been exposed like a person undressed, and I can see through you, cause I'm the guru. And what you gonna do when I start to step to you? Cause when I pay you back, I'll be hurting you. And this ain't no threat, so take it personal.
Is Sean Combs, aka Puff Daddy, aka P. Diddy, hip hop's version of Jeffrey Epstein? What the fuck is going on? Those allegations from that producer, Little Rod, are fucking wild. I mean, wild. He stated he produced 9 songs on the Love album released last year by Diddy, which is really a good album. And he also, this is Little Rod or whatever, he's saying that this is all in the allegations, y'all. He's saying he never received a publisher's credit and the full amount of money that they agreed on. And he also alleges Diddy pressured him to engage in unwelcome sex acts with sex workers. Okay, I'm going to stop there with reading the allegations. I mean, it's a lot, y'all. It's really a lot. Y'all could just go online and read the rest of them allegations. It's really a lot. This is a young guy, young talented guy, producer, engineer. So I'm hearing that he also is a songwriter as well. He lived with Diddy, they said, from what, November of 2022 to December of 2023. Listen, I don't understand why a producer has to live with you to fucking work on an album. I would just be like, look, my man, I'm going to help you on this album, but I don't, you know, you could just pay for my telly or something, man. I don't understand why I need to live with another fucking man just to work on the album. That's just my opinion with this shit, y'all. But y'all know how it goes, y'all. They say money doesn't change someone. It just brings their real personality to the surface. And at this point, I really don't see Diddy bouncing back from all this. This is just too messy. And, you know, they were saying that him and his son was tied to shooting somebody as well. And, you know, lying to the police. And, you know, I mean, it's just a lot. I think the nigga just better do what Russell Simmons did when he became swamped with a bunch of sexual allegations. And that was just, he moved out of the country. He got the fuck ghost. He got out of here. You know, fuck that. I'm not going to jail. And, you know, his allegations coming up every other fucking month and shit like that. And you paying attorney fees and all that shit. That shit is just too much. Did he just need to fucking bounce? At this point, he need to fall back from social media, TV, all that shit, clubbing, whatever, and just slide out the fucking country, find a fucking another country that's full of talented young men, and just had the time of his fucking life. You know what I'm saying? I really be wondering, yo, like, what's up, yo? What's up with all these music moguls, yo? Like, my bad. Music moguls. These niggas just really get obsessed with power, and they really think that they are above the law. It's crazy. It's really crazy that, you know, people take advantage of others that's in the industry too. And it's just messy, yo. It's just messy. Yo, Diddy, yo, he need to get his shit together, yo. This nigga. He had like a 30 plus year run of being successful and being in the limelight. I think he just need to fade into the sunset now. But do y'all think back in the day, Berry Gordy was spiking Diana Ross drinks and fucking sex workers?
I like this right here. Come on. Bad boy.
Houston Rockets young guard Jalen Green, who is 22 years old, and his girlfriend Drea Michelle, who is 39 years old, are having a baby. Now, Drea is 17 years older than Jalen, and she also has a son that's the same age as Jalen. She definitely planned this out like a heist on Ocean's 11 or something. The fucked up thing about this is Jalen is either too naive to let this to just let this heist go on, or he just doesn't care because he's rich. And, you know, he probably was a young nigga that was seeing her on his Instagram beating his dick to her pictures and videos and shit like that. And like, damn, fuck that shit. I'm getting money now. Yeah, fuck it. I don't give a fuck if she an old head whore. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying? Drea definitely know damn well she could not pull this off with an older NBA veteran. Young boy just don't even understand how difficult life will become for him. You know, I see he doesn't even have any older siblings or a father in his life to help him avoid the thoughts who plot on young niggas with money. I'm not sure, but I don't even think they've been even dealing with each other a year. From what I've been reading is, you know, that they popped up together like last August, you know, 2023. You know what I'm saying? It ain't even been a fucking year, and she's pregnant, yo. You know, she threw that deluxe yam sauce special on a young boy. Who knows, you know what I'm saying? The boy probably just started fucking like 3 years ago, and she probably was looking at that nigga in his eye, giving him top, telling him how much she loves him, and then he bust up in them vintage ass yams. Got the bitch pregnant, yo. Crazy, yo. Drea is definitely set for life now. And I just got to say this. We know now the Rockets got to look into this shit, yo. Because it's not going to look good. It's not going to look good on his on his play out there on the court, yo. They might as well start thinking about trading this nigga. You know what I'm saying? I only know he been in the league, what, two seasons and shit. You know what I mean? Because with him dealing with some shit like this, his game isn't going to get any better as long as he's consumed by her spell. And if you peep his stats, last year he was averaging 22 points, and this year he's averaging 18. That's a 4-point dip in scoring. I'm telling y'all, yam sauce is a powerful drug, and I foresee a cloudy future for this young man. And damn, if he marries Drea, her son will be calling a nigga the same age as him daddy.
Oh, she's a gold digger, way over time, that digs on me.
Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke.
Classic album of the week is Common's B album, entirely produced by Kanye West, and was released May 24th, 2005. This definitely was Common's bounce back album after releasing that terrible disaster of an album called Electric Circus. Some people were saying that the album was so trash because he was messing with Erykah Badu at the time. I ain't gonna, yo, she had the boy wearing crochet corduroys and crochet pink hats out here looking like a hippie painter from the 70s. Yo, he was looking crazy. And Common, my man, yo, I'm a huge fan of Common's. But damn, like I said earlier in the podcast, yam sauce is a powerful drug and have niggas losing their identity in their damn mind. Anyways, I remember forcing myself to listen to that album over and over, thinking it will eventually grow on me, but it didn't. The fucking album is trash. I just had to be real with my fucking self. That Electric Circus album was trash. But the B album is damn near a perfect album. Excellent production, good songs with relatable content, and the length is good as well. 11 songs and 43 minutes. My favorite songs are Go, The Corner with The Last Poets, Shy City, and Testify. Honestly, this album you could just let play out and without even skipping anything. I feel like Kanye was at his peak. I mean, this boy, he was on fire around this time. And Common was trying to bounce back, get his shit together. And they actually released another album 2 years after this was released. They had a lot of success with this B album. But yeah, this, yo, make sure y'all go listen to it, enjoy it, yo. It's definitely, it's a vibe, yo. The album creates a real dope vibe, yo. Fire production, like I said. So yo, y'all just go check it out whenever you can. So thanks for listening to this episode. Make sure y'all follow me on Twitter at Mr. 100 spelled out. You can follow the podcast on Instagram at 16s and things pod, and you can follow me on Instagram at Ms. 100, not 100. Thanks for listening. Peace. Go, go.